It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's October 20th and 21st. It seems like yesterday I was just saying that September had come and gone, and now it looks like October is almost behind us. It's obviously turned a little cold. The foliage has been pretty good this year. For those of you that are listening to this on Saturday, tomorrow, Sunday, October 21st, is the 10-mile race right out of Concord NHTI near the Discovery Center. Is where the race starts, and it's a great race, Granite 10-miler, and we run through Concord, so there's still time to register on the fly. It starts at 9 a.m. on Sunday the 21st, and for all my running friends, I really very much appreciate all of the races that we do to raise money for various charities. Delta Dental sponsors many, and I'm projected to not hit 100 races this year. Someone asked me offline about that. I think I'll end up with about 92. But one of the great things about this program, it's really afforded me the opportunity to help with my guests, to share and educate. As many of you know, we've had Justice Broderick on many times to talk about changedirection.org and mental health awareness, and we've promoted the Opioid Conference, which was on Friday, October 5th. But another leading gentleman is Chuck Sayer, who is the executive director of the Governor's Commission on Disability. And Chuck has a pretty significant role to do a lot without a lot of resources, I guess is the way I would put it. So hence why he's with me. So Chuck, tell us about your background. I know that you can practice law in New Hampshire and Mass, and basically you've had a great history of representing the underserved populations, and you're a BC grad and got your law school degree from Suffolk University, and you're a grandfather, which is awesome. So I'm glad, just as an aside, I'm glad to see that the BC Eagles football are actually we can talk about it. It seemed like for two or three years, like no one mentioned BC football. But people forget, under Tom Coughlin and other coaches, they were, always in the top 20 for a while anyway.
You know, Tom, that's true. And just talking about BC, I was there during the Doug Flutie years. So, yes, I go back to the dynasty of the early 80s.
I love that game when he was scrambling against Miami.
Oh, yes.
He did it. Flutie did it.
That's it.
And so, of course, Doug Flutie, that was really the beginning of people really recognizing how good of an athletic program that BC is. Well, tell us just generally what the Governor's Commission on Disability is, and then we'll get into Stable, New Hampshire.
Sure. And before we start, Tom, I would like to say thank you on behalf of State Treasurer Bill Dwyer, who unfortunately couldn't be here today, the Governor's Commission on Disability, the State of New Hampshire. Thank you for this opportunity
to publicize
Stable, New Hampshire. So the Governor's Commission on Disability, when we look at the organizational structure of the state, the GCD, as we refer to it as, Tom, is housed right within the governor's office, physically not there, but we are part of the governor's office. And our job is to work with the legislature, the governor, and the public, the constituents of New Hampshire, as it relates to all disabilities in the state of New Hampshire, and to provide that education and awareness for the resources that are there for individuals who do have disabilities.
And that's so important. You know, I was thinking when I was chair of the State Board of Ed, Bonnie Dunham was always my go-to person. And, rights for people with disabilities, it's so important. I mean, to me, and I'm summarizing a little bit here, but it's hard enough sometimes to go through life, you know, if you're not disabled and you throw on a disability. So one of the things I always tried to do as a chair of the State Board of Education was to make sure to folks that with disabilities were taken care of in, you know, regulations and so forth. And it's a balance because obviously everything costs money and we always try to find that balance. So thanks for all the work you do.
Well, thank you.
So tell us what the 2014 ABLE Act is, and which we sometimes call STABLE.
Right. Well, in 2014, at the federal level, the government passed a law known as ABLE, A-B-L-E, which stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience. And what these are, ABLE accounts, as they are known across the nation, are investment accounts available to eligible individuals with disabilities. And they're made possible by the ABLE Act. And it allows individuals with disabilities to save and invest money without losing eligibility for certain public benefits programs. So that is the technological or the precise definition of what an ABLE account is. Essentially, what occurred, and this occurred, Tom, as you can appreciate, prior to 2014, and I don't mean to understate it or to be melodramatic, but there was an outcry. There was an outcry from parents, from individuals with disabilities, and from loved ones that essentially said, we have college savings plans. And with a college savings plan, an individual, a parent, a grandparent, is able to open up an account so that and put money aside so that this a child can then go to college. However,
I look at my own kid, thank God for the 529 plans.
Right, exactly. So when you look at the ABLE accounts, these are 529A accounts. Hence, they're under the same IRS regulations. And essentially what it does in its most basic format, if you are an individual and you meet certain criteria, which we will go through during this segment, you are able now to save money without the risk of jeopardizing your needs-based benefits, such as SSI, Supplemental Security Income, SSDI, Social Security Disability Insurance, and Medicaid. Because prior to the enactment of the statute, again, individuals came together, truthfully, at kitchen tables across the country and said, what can we do to ensure that our loved ones, people who are close to us, or even the individuals themselves can actually own these accounts without losing benefits. What I refer to it as, for years, individuals with disabilities lived under a shroud. There was an anvil always over their head. We've heard terms like spend down. We've heard terms such as don't give someone a check for their birthday. You couldn't have anything technically over $2,000 because then the benefits that you were receiving were jeopardized.
It just sounds so absurd.
Absurd. Yeah. So, and I will tell you when, and Bill, and I'll, Bill Dwyer and I are the co-administrators of the state equivalent of ABLE. We refer to this as a game changer. And I will tell you, there are many individuals that are skeptical because, again, for years, we've been indoctrinated. If you can't have $2,000 in the bank, then I have to spend down. I have to liquidate. When Bill and I are on the road, putting together our PowerPoints to the various advocacy groups, we hear from the individuals, the testimonials, there was a grandmother who wanted to give X amount of dollars to their grandchild. The parent would say, please don't do it. Hold on to the money because they can't have this money in an account.
Contact information is stablenhallonword.com, and questions on eligibility on how to open an account can be there. So let's talk about why you feel it is a game changer and what forms of communication are you using. It sounds like you and Bill are doing a lot of road shows. Obviously, we have this, this radio, and when you and I chatted on the phone about this with Bill, it's the first time I realized why it is a game changer and these perceptions, which were at one point rooted in fact, you know, and it's so hard to transcend that. And then I have one other question, which is the act was 2014, but we're into it 1 year, so it's taken us this long to kind of get it going, is it?
Yeah, and again, Tom, thank you, because all very poignant questions. So at the federal level, it was passed in 2014. At the state level, it was 2016.
Okay.
And pursuant to RSA 195K, the enabling legislation in New Hampshire essentially states that the executive director of the Governor's Commission on Disability, as well as the New Hampshire state treasurer, shall be the administrators of an ABLE savings account program in New Hampshire. That program in New Hampshire is known as Stable NH. As you've referenced, stablenh.com has all of the information. in December of 2017, Stable NH was actually launched, whereby it went live and it was open to the citizens of New Hampshire. So it, we're coming up just about on a year, and I believe it was December 15th that the program went live. It was approved by the governor and council. We worked very closely with the sponsors of the bill, very closely with advocacy groups to ensure that the message is out. However, when you look at the enabling legislation, it specifically states that no general funds shall be used in the administration of the program. So essentially, what Bill and I need to do is to obviously graciously accept the offers of the Tom Raffios of the world to work with the developmental disability area agencies and other advocacy groups to truly get the message out.
So I'm assuming you've met continuously with all of those stakeholders just to make sure that they're totally on board. Has anybody said that? I don't know how else to put it, but has anybody said, "Well, this is not a good idea for some reason or anything"? Or
no, it has been an overwhelming acceptance of the program, because again, going back to this is what we refer to as a game changer. From the point of view of the Governor's Commission on Disability, the monumental piece of legislation is the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. That was the civil rights bill that essentially said discrimination based upon a disability is outlawed. When we look at the ABLE Act, it truly is that type of a law. It is a game changer. I personally put it on the same par as the ADA because it's very empowering and it's strengthening to individuals with disabilities, because now they can have money, put it in an account, and so long as it's spent on what we refer to as a qualified disability expense, it doesn't jeopardize those needs-based benefits.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. This weekend with me is Chuck Sayo, who is the leader of Stable New Hampshire. He's the executive director. Quickly, for my running friends, again, if you're listening to this on Saturday the 20th or early in the morning on the 21st, there's still time to register and run the Granite 10-miler, which is out of the NHTI Grapponi campus on Sunday the 21st. It's a 10-mile that runs through Concord. So back to Chuck. So first of all, thank you, Chuck, for having so much passion for this topic. And again, when I was chair of the State Board of Education, I know that all the various stakeholders groups, when it comes to people with disability, are very, very, very passionate in a good way. And I always try to, you know, err on the side of the parents and the children. So thank you for all you do. So let's just take a step back and tell us how the program works, and also how, because of the funding issue in New Hampshire, how you've been strategically leveraging, you know, what Ohio is doing.
Well, thank you, Tom. Essentially, going back to the state enabling legislation, co-administrator Bill Dwyer, treasurer of the state of New Hampshire, and I had to determine what would be the best platform for New Hampshire to move forward. So in conjunction with the advocacy groups, we came to the determination that because of the lack of general funds to administer a program, we looked at various platforms across the country to see what was available. And we vetted out other programs, other ABLE account programs, and we came to the conclusion that the state of Ohio offered the best platform. So prior to the launch in December of 17, Bill and I entered into a contract with the state of Ohio, who has now contracted with 11 states. So we're one of 12 states as part of the STABLE platform. And they actually, what Bill refers to as, they are the men behind the curtain that actually run the program. But what is nice about Ohio, New Hampshire never lost its identity, so it's still a New Hampshire product. The Ohio platform is well-versed in the intricacies of the New Hampshire nuances. And Bill and I actually take part in monthly, what we refer to as partnership calls, to ensure that everyone has a voice at the table at the national level. And I will tell you, Stable as a whole has 1/3 of the accounts across the nation. And they have, if I'm not mistaken, they have the largest amount of deposits.
Wow.
For accounts.
So to me, this is quintessential New Hampshire, because you've kept the New Hampshire flavor But I don't know how else to put it, but you've been strategically frugal by partnering with the state of Ohio.
You know, thank you again, Tom, for that. Actually, the governor pointed that out during the launch in December of 17. He said, in true New Hampshire way, New Hampshire finds a way. We look at the enabling statute and we figure out what is the best way to do it. And I will tell you, Governor Sununu has been a great champion for this program. Also, and Bill and I are truly grateful to all of his help.
So can you cite some examples of how this is could work both on a short-term and long-term basis in terms
sure.
of school and technology as well as, you know, funds for independent living and college?
Yeah. So when we look at it, if it's okay with you, Tom, I'll just back up. There are certain criteria in order for a person to have a stable account. And again, there's an eligibility quiz right on stablenh.com that someone can go through, and it has been represented to me from start to finish. 19 minutes and you'll have your account up and running online.
19 minutes. You heard it here from Chuck.
As it was a testimonial. You can only have one account per person. The individual with a disability has to have a disability that occurred prior to the age of 26. The person must be a New Hampshire resident and must also meet one of three criteria. Either eligible to receive SSI or SSDI due to a disability, or have a condition listed on the Social Security Administration's list of compassionate allowances, or you can self-certify. So again, for our purposes, an individual with a disability, one account, disability that occurred prior to the age of onset by the age of 26, and a New Hampshire resident, and also the other three criteria, which are also. That essentially puts your account up and running. Now, I'd just like to talk a little about the age of 26.
Of course, yeah. Go ahead.
The onset of the disability had to have occurred by the age of 26. That doesn't mean that the account has to be open by the age of 26. You could open up an account at age 30, at 35, but so long as you can certify that the onset of the disability occurred by 26, you can have an account. So those are the eligibility requirements. You then can fund your account with as minimum as a $50 contribution. And again, that's all set up online. Each year, there is a $15,000 annual limit of deposit that you can put into the account. So essentially, if you're an individual with a disability and grandma wants to now give their grandson or granddaughter a gift of $100, $200, or maybe it's a gift during a lifetime, you can donate or contribute up to $15,000 a year into a stable New Hampshire account, again, without there being any disruption to benefits, so long as it's spent on a qualified disability expense.
So this is, in a positive way, bringing tears to my eyes, because this does address, you know, grandmother wanted to do a $5,000 donation, but in the past felt a little restricted because it would draw down something else. This way, it goes into the equivalent of the 529A, right?
Correct. That's right.
And there's no tax consequences.
That's right, because it's sitting right in that account. And if the individual with a disability is employed, they can contribute up to another $12,060 of income. Again, without there being any disruption to benefits, so long as it's spent on a qualified disability expense. And actually, the way the folks in Ohio have set it up, use grandma as the example, she can actually set up e-gifting so that it's automatically deducted from her account and going right into her grandchild's account.
Awesome.
Yeah, and you are right. I mean, again, the stories we hear, you see it in the probate. Their grandma or grandpa did die, and in their will, they wanted to leave money to their grandchild who had a disability. In years past, and historically, children will look into their parents and saying, don't leave them anything. It's going to hurt their eligibility. So for years, they were either the parents were holding on to the money, or they weren't given altogether, or they were giving it to siblings to provide for on the side. It's what we were accustomed to doing. Families found a way to care for each other.
And sort of a convoluted way and kind of trying to beat the system. Now you just give it to the 529. I mean, this is incredible.
Yeah.
So another thing I want you to kind of clarify, if people are looking at this as kind of like a 529, and I know with the 529 with my kids, it was all had to be education related. It seems like there's some more flexibility when it comes to this program.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. What I look at, so obviously we have the eligibility, you set up the account. And again, what I've been stressing is that the monies in the 529 stable New Hampshire account have to be spent on qualified disability expenses, QDEs. So the withdrawal from the account must be used on anything, number one, that relates to the disability, and number two, helps to maintain or improve the health, independence, or quality of life for the individual. Now, as you can see, Tom, that's a very, what I refer to as a very two-pronged test, but it's a very subjective test. And what are some of the examples that it can be spent on? Housing and rent, basic living expenses, medical, financial, legal bills, education, transportation, assistive technology. And that's not even an exhaustive list. Many of the questions we encounter when we're on the road with the Chuck and Bill show is, what is a qualified disability expense? From the information we're getting at the national level and also from our partners in Ohio, we don't expect that the federal government is going to be draconian in their interpretation of what a qualified disability expense, because again, we have to go back to the intent of this legislation. This is legislation to assist individuals, to empower, to ensure that individuality is front and center.
So someone listening to this, as long as it, in our own sort of common sense, it captures the spirit of it and you document it properly.
Perfect.
I think for the most part, people shouldn't have to worry about it.
Exactly. So that's exactly what the crux is. Now, I will tell you, many families have set up special needs trusts for their loved ones with a disability. Bill and I would never say in front of any audience on this radio show or anywhere, disband or revoke your special needs trust. We're actually saying the opposite. We look at it and would suggest that special needs trusts and stable accounts go hand in hand, because there are some expenses that you cannot use or you cannot disburse from a special needs trust, but you can from an ABLE account. So I'll give you an example. Let's assume grandma died and she wanted to give an individual $100,000, and the individual obviously has a disability. That $100,000 cannot go into an ABLE account because we have the $15,000 threshold. But what we could do is you could take the $100,000, put it in a special needs trust, and then the special needs trust for
$15,000.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we just had that question. We see that with settlements of cases. There are individuals that have had to bring lawsuits on behalf of their loved ones with a disability. An attorney contacted me and said that he has a $45,000 settlement. So he is looking to put $15,000 in now. And in just a few months, he'll put another $15,000 in. So you have very broad spending powers with the ABLE accounts that you technically don't see with a special needs trust. Also with a special needs trust, you're going to file an individual tax return. You're not going to do that with a stable account, because a stable account is owned by an individual with a disability.
So it gives it a lot of flexibility. I mean, it has the $15,000 limit, but you can dole that out every year. This is the, honestly, like, it's the best kept secret. I'm hoping, parents with children with disabilities and grandparents that have grandchildren with disabilities, that we've got to continue to get the word out, because this is magical compared to what it was.
You're 100% right. That's hitting the nail on the head. It's the best kept secret. And again, in following your lead, Tom, we want it no longer to be a secret. So whatever your listeners can do to spread the word, by all means, stablenh.com can contact me or Bill anytime. More than happy to discuss it.
Go to stablenh.com. Any recommendation? Where do they get started?
I mean, literally, again, they could call the Governor's Commission on Disability at 271-2773. You could call Bill Dwyer directly at 271-2424. That's the New Hampshire State Treasurer. Or the easiest to do and is stablenh.com. We have the eligibility quiz, the opportunity to actually set up the online banking, to make deposits, and then to start spending the money.
Well, thank you, Chuck, for all that you do, and we'll have you back, and I'll be doing some public service amounts. Again, contact stablenh, all one word, .com. Chuck Saya, thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you for the opportunity, Tom.